Hey, everybody. Welcome to It's All About Relationship. This is David Novak, and you're just about to listen to episode number 113. 113. Hey, welcome to the show. If you are a regular listener, welcome back. We certainly do appreciate your loyalty and continuing to give us a listen every once in a while whenever we do our shows. And if this is your first time listening in, welcome to It's All About Relationship. I think you're going to really dig this one. It's going to be a really cool episode. And anyway, you know, it's going to be good. Just to catch up on a couple of things. Hey, on our last count on our audience listenership, we have had listeners in 53 countries in the world. 53. Now, that doesn't mean we have a million in each country, but we have had listeners in 53 countries and 42 U.S. states. So that's pretty cool. And we've been doing this for, just about 2 years. Like I said, this is episode number 113. So, you know, there you go. If you want to follow the show on Facebook, you would go to on Instagram. It's David Novak Podcast. That's on Instagram, and on Facebook, it's All About Relationship. That's how you'd find it there. And if you're interested in following me as an actor, because that's kind of what I do, on Instagram, it's David Novak Actor, and on Facebook, it's the same thing. So anyway, here you go. So today, sometimes I do these things all by myself, and I just do a solo, and I give you my thoughts. Having to do with walking with the Lord and things that I picked up over the 150 years that I've been alive. But today I have a special guest, and this person, awesome guy. I've known him for years. But we were having a conversation the other day with the family, and he was there, and he was telling us all about some experiences that he had recently. And I'm sitting there, and within like 30 to 60 seconds, I'm feeling the Lord's telling me, you know what, you need to have this guy on your show, because what he's sharing is incredible. And I think you're going to really dig what he's going to tell you right now. So I'm going to have on my show today Pastor Matt Hemphill. He's the pastor over at New Life Church in Tustin, California. And he recently did a missions trip I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let him tell you. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. I'm happy to be here.
And I'm really happy and thrilled that you're with us, too. So, Matt, I know Matt because he's my daughter-in-law's brother-in-law. Did I get that right?
You did. Good job.
I got it right, and I don't know if there's a shorter way to say it, but that's what it is. So, hey, Matt, before we get into the experience that you had, I'm going to let you say what it was, but can you just give us a little bit of background, you know, on you and New Life and that kind of thing and how that came to be?
Yeah. We planted New Life Church about 9 years ago. So my wife and I, we've been following the Lord for a while now. We were attending a church, and we felt God put the call on our hearts to plant the church. And so we planted New Life about 9 years ago, believe it or not, in the city of Tustin. It's been wonderful. That's where we live. That's where we raise our kids. And so it's nice having the church right at the heart of where we do life. And so it's been amazing to see the way God has moved through this over this past 9 years.
And what's kind of cool, too, you have a very talented church. And the way that I know that is not only are you a great teacher, I've heard you myself, but you recently had a talent show at your church,
yeah.
Okay? And I went there because I, you know, was going to support Lily, my granddaughter, you know, my granddaughter, which would be your niece, right?
Niece.
Okay.
Yep.
And so we went to support, you know, but all the people that you had come up on the talent show, I mean, these are like professional musicians, singers, and everything.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
It was incredible.
And your church is not a huge church. So,
to the amount of musicians that God has blessed us with is pretty remarkable. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that was really very, very cool. And I'm a musician myself, so I really, really appreciated, you know, listening to that. So, okay, now to tell the story, you just got back from where? Matt?
I just got back from a trip to Moldova, which is a small country in Eastern Europe that borders Ukraine.
Okay. And that was basically a missions trip, right?
Yep, it was a missions trip, exactly.
Okay, so what gave you the idea of the prompting, you know, or that the Lord would do by His Holy Spirit?
Yeah,
what prompted you to go over there?
You know, about a year ago, I heard there was a missionary in town from the country of Moldova. And for whatever reason, I felt prompted to take him out to lunch just to support him. I heard he was in California. He was in Orange County. I wanted to hear about his experience. I wanted to honor him by treating him to a meal. And so I'm sitting down at lunch with him and his family, and he's sharing stories of the way God is moving over there. And I'm feeling so just caught up in what the Lord was doing. And so I asked, how can we support you? Now, typically, you know, if you ask a missionary, you know, how can we support you? I was expecting him to say, you know, you can support us financially.
Sure.
And there would have been nothing wrong with that. That would have been a great answer. They need funds. I totally get it. But he didn't say that. He said, Matt, I need bodies. And I remember being struck by that phrase, because here's a man, he's telling me all the things that God is doing, but he basically said, I need help. I need manpower. I need hands and feet and arms and bodies. And I remember in that moment when he gave that answer, something stirred in my heart. I said, God, if this is my brother in Christ and he's asking for help, he's asking for actual manpower, that we should say yes. And right there, pretty much on the spot, I gave him my commitment. I said, if that's the case, then our church, we will send help. And believe it or not, 1 year, almost to the day, 1 year later, we went and sent a team of 8 of us out to Moldova to help be his hands and feet.
Wow. Eight of you. So you went... And was it part of your staff or just volunteers or a combination?
No, just volunteers, just people in the church who prayed and felt called to go and serve the people in Moldova.
Okay, so now how long have you been back since you went?
I've been back for about 3 weeks now.
Okay, and how long were you over there?
We were there for 9 days.
9 days, okay, and that's in Moldova. So what language do they speak?
They speak Romanian and Russian. It's kind of a blend. They pretty much everybody speaks both of those languages.
Now, knowing you personally, I don't think you speak Romanian or Russian. So,
nope.
Not that I know of, anyway. So I'm guessing you had an interpreter?
Yeah, we had translators everywhere we went. And what's crazy is after a while, you forget the translators are there. And you're communicating, and yes, the translator is translating what you're saying, but you're looking at the people that you're speaking with, you're locking eyes with them, and it's incredible the way that you kind of adapt to this conversational style, and it feels actually very personal after a while.
Well, now, the translators, interpreters, I'm guessing they were supplied by, you know, who you went to go see over there, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep, the pastor over there that we were partnering with.
Okay.
He had kind of a group that he normally partners with.
Are you able to say the name of the pastor? Is that we shouldn't do that for security?
No, we can. His name's Pastor Oleg.
Okay, I know how things are in different countries, and there's, you know, it's security and danger and all that kind of stuff.
Well, absolutely.
Speaking of danger, you told me that you had a little bit of a situation with customs.
Yes. So one of the things that Pastor Oleg asked, he said, Matt, we need supplies. So we need hygiene supplies. We need arts and crafts. We need clothing. Because I should probably back up a little bit. The reason why Moldova is in such crisis mode is because they have welcomed hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian refugees. So since the start of the war, so many Ukrainians have fled out of Ukraine into Moldova. And so this small Eastern European country, they've been overwhelmed just by the influx in population. And so it's been beautiful to see Moldova open their arms to all these refugees, but that's what's left them kind of shorthanded on so many of the basic supplies. So he said, Matt, can you and your team, we need as much supplies as you can bring. Again, hygiene from your toothpaste, your toothbrush, your deodorant, shampoos, to clothing, to shoes, to art supplies, to games, just to supply to all these refugees. And so we brought about 9 giant suitcases full. Think of like your full size, checked bags. And we bring 9 of them. We bring them on the plane. We land in Moldova. And yet our luggage gets flagged by customs. Well, I'm the leader of this trip, and the pastor that's Oleg, who's greeting us, he's not in the airport. So it's pretty much just me speaking with these customs agents.
And you are on your own. The Holy Spirit and 7 other people, right?
Yeah, and he's unzipping our bags, and he's grilling us. Why are you bringing all of these things? And I'm trying to be sensitive to, I don't know what to say, how much I can or can't say, but I basically say, hey, we're giving them to people in need. And then he said, do you have paperwork for this? Well, we didn't have any paperwork. We weren't told to bring any, and so I said, no. And he said, we're not going to let you take this stuff in. And our hearts just sank, because here we spent a lot of money purchasing all of these supplies. We did a lot of donations. We brought them over here only to have them get stopped in customs. It's all devastating. But in that moment, I remember praying, said, Lord, make a way. Please make a way. Holy Spirit, please soften their hearts. Soften their hearts. And then the customs guy, he kept saying, we're not going to budge. Sorry, you don't have paperwork. I don't know what you're going to do with these. You can't just be bringing stuff like this in. And thankfully, after probably about 5 or 6 tense minutes, which really probably felt like an hour, another agent came up, put his hand on the other customs agent, said, hey, they're speaking in their own language, pretty much, says, hey, these are just crayons, these are just hygiene, these are just clothing, let's let them through. And so finally, the head customs agent says, fine, we'll let it go, don't do it again.
Wow.
And there was this huge flood of relief, because already we started to see that God is going to provide a way, and he's going to make a path for us. But so the trip started off already with some hurdles, and it was a good intro to things that we were going to be facing.
Wow, that's amazing. Favor of God bringing that other agent over there. I mean, absolutely right. Did you ever feel, I'm asking you an obvious question here, but did you ever feel threatened? Like, not only were they not going to take your stuff or let you go through, but did you ever feel like they were going to take you into custody or anything like that? Did that cross your mind?
It did cross my mind a couple times. Yeah. One of the times we were bringing these care packages. So we were bringing food and supplies and hygiene, and we were actually bringing them to a prostitute's house, which, was an interesting experience that Pastor Oleg said, hey, we're here to love all people. These are people in need. We're going to bring these things to them. But we were told that, hey, some of the pimps in the area are very hostile to, us talking to their prostitutes. And so that was one of the moments that we would go into these homes and we would be knowing that, hey, we're wanted by some, but we're unwanted by others. And those moments were tense. We were praying, Lord, protect us. Lord, guide us. We got to have these conversations. We got to share the gospel. We got to give out these supplies. But we knew that, hey, if somebody, if they came in and they saw us talking to these people, we knew it could get a little rocky. So there were definitely tense moments where we would go certain places knowing that there are people who don't want us here.
Wow. That I'm already blown away just listening to that. Gosh, you were talking about sex trafficking too. I mean, is there some of that going on there too?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of that going on. So, like so many countries across the world, but a lot of the orphanages, unfortunately, are pipelines for future victims of sex trafficking. There is a lot of that going on, but I would share this story. The local church, the local Christian church in Moldova, they're actually doing incredible work to combat this. So it's not the government necessarily that's implementing programs. It's the church. And they decided one day we're going to do something about this. And so, because what unfortunately happens is so many of the orphanages, when you're 16, you're given a bus pass into the city with a meal and a little voucher for a one-night hotel. But that's it. And so, unfortunately, so many pimps are waiting for these girls to be dropped off in the city. And they don't have any family. They don't have any, you know, support system. That's why they're in the orphanages in the first place. And so it's just a breeding ground for future exploitation. But the church has decided, hey, we want to come in, we want to step in a year earlier, and specifically Oleg, who we were working with, he started transition homes, which basically bring these orphan girls into the transition homes. Then they teach them skills, they graduate them through high school and college, and then instead of being released into the city at 16, they get released closer to around 19 or 20. And now they're much better prepared to handle and to kind of immigrate with society. Now they're educated. Now they have skills. And I was blown away at the power of the local church. Here, the Christians, they weren't looking around saying, who's going to do something about this? Yeah. They stood up and said, we're going to do something about this. And they're single-handedly changing the lives of so many children. And we got to go to these transition homes. And we got to meet some of these girls, and it was beautiful to see them thriving, to see them maturing, to see them finding their identity in Christ. And it just really inspired me on the power of the local church.
Well, and that's exactly the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? I mean, the church is supposed to be the one that takes care of those around you, not necessarily relying on the government, you know, especially that, or other people, but to pick up the mantle and do it. You know, the way that the Lord leads you, exactly like you guys were doing, and Oleg and his church over there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. When you talk to the girls over there, you know, and well, people in general, I mean, what kind of response were you receiving from those that you were trying to help?
You know, so many, honestly, they were blown away that we came and we were visiting. So oftentimes, you know, Moldova, it's not a country that usually people visit. Again, it's often a country that's overlooked. And so when we were there, the overwhelming response was, thank you for being here. You know, it actually brings us hope to know that we're thought of. And we were, as we'd be talking to refugees and hearing their stories, we would just be listening to them. And we would just say, tell us your story. Tell us what's been going on. And it was beautiful just to sit with them in their pain, to give them our ear, to give them our attention. And it was, the response was just, it was so humbling because they were so appreciative of just our presence. And here we are, we're just coming to serve. And we just felt so blessed that we were able to, you know, care for them. In turn, they're caring for us and showing us strength and resilience. But overall, the response was so positive that we were there to help, that we were trying to make a difference, and they were really grateful, and so were we.
Well, that's more than awesome. That's more than awesome. Hey, kind of a weird question I'm going to ask you now that has to do with all that, with your trip. Tell me about things like, you know, your where you stayed, how it was, what were your accommodations, food that you ate, you know, the weather. Tell me some of that stuff.
Yeah. We were fortunate to stay in a mission house. So Pastor Oleg, him and his ministry, they do have a house that welcomes teens. And so it was pretty much kind of like your typical house, you know, not too much, too different from houses here in the States. You know, the food over there is great. It's very fresh. It's a lot of chicken, a lot of rice. It was very fresh. We were blown away at just the quality of the food. And it wasn't decadent by any means, but it was great flavors. It felt very fresh and natural. So the food was great. The weather can be quite extreme. In the winters, it can get freezing. I mean, it is classic Eastern European cold, cold, cold winters. Summers can be quite hot. You know, when we were there, there were a couple days that crossed over 90 degrees and there was some humidity. So we were a little bit in shock you know, a bunch of Californians going into that heat with that humidity. So there are a few hot days. But in general, I'd say they get the full spectrum. They get hot summers. They get cold winters. But our accommodations were great. The food was amazing. It was definitely better than what we were expecting.
Wow. Okay. Pastor Oleg over there, does he have a... does he have a regular congregation of a church, or is he like the head of a ministry, or a little bit of both, or what?
It's both. He, I mean, he wears so many hats over there, but he pastors one church, you know, two campuses, and we went to both of those churches. Hmm. I was actually asked to speak, so I got to preach at both of his churches, which was such an honor and so special to do that. We got to worship alongside them, and so he personally pastors two churches, and then he also runs his, you know, these other supporting ministries like those transition homes. Mm-hmm. He also has like these food distribution kind of emergency supply ministries where mm-hmm. if there's an earthquake or there's an influx of refugees, if there's a national disaster, he has ministries that are prepared to go and bring supplies. You know, he personally goes down to the war lines in Ukraine, and he's bringing supplies. He's praying for people. So he wore very many. He wore a ton of hats. We were blown away. We called him the Energizer Bunny because he just keeps on going.
Oh, wow, gosh, that's great.
Yeah.
Now you just said you preached a couple of times. So that brings up two questions that pop into my mind. First of all, you're not preaching in Russian or Ukrainian, so I'm assuming they had a translator there or somebody doing sign language or something.
Yeah, we had a translator. So I would basically say a couple sentences, and then I would pause, right. And then a person on stage would translate those two sentences. So right. You know, it took me a little bit of time to learn the rhythms and learn the cadence. I was thrown off a little, but eventually you settle in. Yeah, you're preaching and the translate, and there's still connection. You know, I had people saying, you know, thank you for that word. You know, I felt spoken to. And so it's beautiful in the power of God that even through translators, you know, his word can come through and bless people.
Wow, that's really cool. Have you ever worked with a translator before?
Yeah, I had. I had done a mission trip to Ecuador and Mexico before, and I'm a little bit familiar with, you know, working through translators, but it had been a while. So again, it is takes a little bit of adjustment.
Okay, this is not your first rodeo then, I guess.
No.
Do you remember what the topic of what you were preaching on was?
Yeah, I preached on a couple. One of them I preached on you know, how to have victory over the flesh, and just talking about how Christ on the cross, you know, yes, we receive forgiveness of sins, but we also receive victory, and how, you know, sin's power and the chains are broken, and how we can kind of walk a victorious life in the Spirit. So I preached on that one night. Another time I preached on, you know, Jesus not coming for the healthy, but for the sick. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't come to save those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Mm-hmm. And so really just trying to connect to, hey, so many of us, we feel broken and we feel sick and we feel like the last people that Jesus would ever want. But in reality, we are the exact people that he came for. So I really felt called to bring that message to refugees who have maybe felt broken through this war and people who have felt overlooked over these past couple years. Mm-hmm. It was an honor just to remind them that when you think you are the last person God would want, you're actually at the front of the line for the kingdom of heaven.
Wow. Would you say there's a lot of persecution in Moldova?
There's not many Christians. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's not many. It's heavily dominated by Russian Orthodox. Yeah. So you do go there and you see churches, but it's not, you know, Oleg is an evangelical kind of Protestant pastor with the Protestant churches, and he is the minority. There are not too many, Christians like him over there. So he does face a lot of persecution on a day-to-day basis, and so do the Christians in the country.
Wow. Did you ever feel threatened while you were preaching at the church?
No, I didn't feel threatened while I was preaching in the church. No, thankfully, you know, it was believers, and it was kind of, we were in a locked room, and so... No, we felt pretty safe when we were with them in their church.
Do you think you might go back?
Absolutely. I told them we'd go back.
Wow.
So, no, I gave him my word. We will go back. Our hearts were stirred, and God planted seeds in us that we want to continue to water. So I've already told our whole church, hey, begin praying. You know, we're going to send a team again soon. So begin asking the Lord if you're going to be called to go.
Wow. Now you guys, I'm assuming you went on your own dime and everything. You guys paid for everything, right?
Yeah, we did. We did. And it was beautiful actually, you know, to see our little church, you know, New Life, and how they were all bought in, because we had some people who felt called to go, but they didn't have the financial means to do so. And then we had other people who, you know, physically or maybe because their job or their life circumstances, they couldn't go, but they did have the financial means to do so. And I remember telling our church, I said, guys, this is a chance where we get to be the body. We get to help one another out. And so basically the people who didn't have the financial means, they got their trip fundraised and paid for by people in the church.
Wow, that's
and so
awesome.
It just really felt connected. Even though not all of us went, all of us, all the whole church was bought in and invested to some degree. Yeah. And so it really felt like we were going, you know, as one big family in one way or the other.
Wow, that's really cool. Do you guys or Pastor Oleg, either one of you, do you have a way, if somebody's listening to this right now and they're, you know, their heart is touched and they're thinking, wow, that's an awesome story. I wish that I could, you know, maybe help the next trip that they go on, and I want to do that somehow. So is there any way that a listener could do that if they wanted to?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have, if you go, our website is newlifeoc.church.
Okay.
And when you hit give, there's an actual spot that says give to Moldova missions. And all the money there just goes and now preps for future trips. And so absolutely they can give that way. And then they can also go directly to Oleg's ministry, which is New Hope Eurasia. And they can Google that, and you'll see Pastor Oleg and the various ministries that he has, and they can support and donate directly to him as well.
Okay, so just to recap, because if somebody is listening and they didn't have a pen, so just to recap it really quick, so they would go on your church's website, which is...
with newlifeoc.church. That would be, and you could hit give, and there's a specific spot where it says give to Moldova missions.
Okay.
And that'll go for funding for future trips.
Okay.
And then if they...
Go ahead.
And then if they Google New Hope Eurasia, which is the website is just New Hope, and the Eurasia is spelled EURASIA.org. You can go directly to New Hope Eurasia's website, and you can donate to Oleg and his ministries right there.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Okay, now your church, in case somebody's in the Orange County, California, which is where, you know, we tape this, but it's also where Matt's church is. You're in Tustin, right?
Correct.
And I think you have services on Sunday at 5 p.m. if somebody wants to check out Matt. Am I right about that? Okay.
Yeah, we've in the evenings at 5 o'clock. You can find out our website. You can find out our address on our website. We'd love to have you visit. We'd love to have you come and check out our church if anybody in the area is looking for a church in Orange County.
Very cool. Before we go, Matt, is there anything that you want to lay on us? You know, whether it has to do with Moldova or your church or anything in the world or out of the world, maybe even better, right?
I would end by saying this. One of the things that we saw on the trip that was so beautiful is that the Holy Spirit gave us power to do things that we didn't think we were able to do. You know, all of us on the trip, we were confronted with moments where we felt like this is too big for us. This is too hard. This is overwhelming. And yet time and time again, we saw the Holy Spirit give us power and authority to step into what he had called us to. And so that would just be my encouragement to the listeners today, that you similarly have something in your life that just feels overwhelming. Maybe it's sharing your faith with a coworker or having that conversation with that family member or whatever that step of faith is. And just encourage them that you're not alone, that the Holy Spirit has been given from God to give you courage and to empower you. And that's just a beautiful thing that all of us Christians can take hold of. And so that would be my kind of ending encouragement to all of us today.
That is really, really good. If our listeners didn't hear anything else today, if you heard the last minute or so, that right there is worth the price of admission. So that was awesome, amen. Matt. Absolutely. Hey, Matt, I want to thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your faith with us. You know, all your thoughts and what you went through and the experiences. Thank you so much, Matt. Hang on. Don't go anywhere. I want to talk to you. But God bless you, Matt. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Hey, check out the link, folks, and you can share it with your friends and neighbors. If you got something out of this, share that link, okay? It's all free. Thank you for listening today.